Hallelujah. That's right. Go ahead. There's a praise in our hearts. There's a praise there. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you that praise. You are a marvel. Yes, you are marvelous, oh God. Oh, and the mystery is that we do not even begin to comprehend all that you have and you are, but just a little bit that we know causes us to praise you. Hallelujah. Go ahead, give him some more praise. Go ahead, give him some more praise. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I give you praise, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. There's new strength in this praise right here. Hallelujah. There's fresh faith here. I thank you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. That's right. Go ahead. Get him higher than the situation. Get him higher than the circumstance. We praise you, Lord. You're above it all. You're above it all. Yes, 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 yes. Thank God. Thank God. And how blessed we are to know that God and then to be able to traffic in and flow in that presence. He chooses to come into our hearts and then also to surround us. At least that's what it feels like, that he is around us, and then we can reach out and touch him, and he reaches in and touches us. Thank the Lord. We are just so blessed, and I don't feel like this church takes God for granted. I believe that there is an appreciation for the presence of God, and every time we come in, God touches us somehow. And you can almost sense it. I saw a seeking and a receptivity over the congregation tonight as you worshiped the Lord. And so there's an appreciation from us for the presence of God. And God always rewards that. He always does. He appreciates our appreciation of his presence. And while it is the way, that's the way it should be, but greater than that, that's the way we feel about him. And so we're not doing some routine or in some kind of a mode that says we have to, but it's a mode that says he is so worthy that we want to worship him. He's been so good to us. There have been answers this week and answers in your lives. And so the goodness of the Lord, you know, we could go all evening long just on the goodness of God, just on the goodness of the Lord. And so what a privilege that we have. And I know that the presence of God is the same for you all that are joining us online. And we welcome you as part of this service. And it's a privilege to be able to come back together. Brother Thomas was remarking just before service, we're nearing the year point of when we had to shut it all down as far as being able to gather here and go into to live streaming only. But God has remained faithful through all of that, and his presence is the same. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. We're going to study from the 11th chapter, and I'm going to be reading the first 5 verses tonight. This section of scripture really drew my attention over the past few weeks. And if you would like a lesson sheet, just lift a hand high enough so that the ushers can see that. I see some over here on this side, men. And if you want one, just lift a hand and the ushers will bring a lesson sheet to you. This text really has drawn my attention in particular about the Spirit of God that is talked about here and what the Spirit will do. In fact, I probably will be preaching from the first verse of this chapter on Sunday morning. And but in particular, verse 2 is where we're going to focus our attention tonight. But I'd like to read the context beginning with the first verse and through verse 5. The Spirit is such a salient characteristic of an apostolic lifestyle. The Spirit of God is so important to us. And God intends for us to experience His Spirit. He wants to come into our lives. And in this text in particular, what we are going to be looking at and addressing tonight is the way the Lord informs us about the giftings or the abilities that we will be equipped with. This has really lodged in my heart over the past several days, that not only that the Lord wants to give it, but that it is accessible to every one of us. And I want us to begin to think now, I can have what God wants me to have. I can have what the Scripture teaches and prophesies and promises that I can have. And I'm going to try to lift those things up for us to see a little clearer tonight. From Isaiah 11 and the first verse, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." I'll address this more Sunday, but of course this is prophecy about the Messiah 700 years before he is born. Verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and a spirit of the fear or the reverence of the Lord." The result will be, is given in verse 3, "and shall make him of quick understanding in or because of the fear of the Lord." And these next few lines, do they ever apply to us today? All of it applies. "But he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes." In other words, you got to look deeper than everything you see on the surface. "And neither shall he respond or reprove after the hearing of his ears." You hear a lot of stuff. You read a lot of stuff. And you got to filter all of that. And the Spirit of the Lord can help us to do that filtering, is what he is saying. "But he is going to respond with righteousness to judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the sake of the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth." This is talking about the power of his word. "Smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." Now that's pretty sobering right there. The word of God, and God, there's going to come a day of judgment, and he is going to speak the word of judgment, and this terminology says he is going to slay the wicked. It gets a little frustrating to see the rise of wickedness and the supposed triumph of wickedness, but we need to pray for repentance on the part of those people, but then we also need to believe that God is going to have enough someday. And he is going to slay the wicked by the force of his word, or according to the promise of his word. "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." In other words, God is wrapped in righteousness, and his ways and his will is wrapped in righteousness and in faithfulness. I want us to pray together to be able to receive the word of the Lord and to receive the intent and the message that God wants to give to us tonight from this word. Would you join together and let's pray. Now, Lord, we pray to receive. I pray that you would help our ears to be open to hear, yes, physically, but more than that, to hear what you want to say to us in the Spirit. Let the Spirit speak tonight and help our spirit to hear. God, help us to yield and humble ourselves to a receiving of what you want to say, and not to shun it or turn it aside, to ignore it or disdain it, but help us to receive from you and receive your intended promises. In the name of Jesus, we pray this, and according to the power of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying, and you may be seated. The purpose of this prophecy that was given. In particular, I'm referring to Isaiah 11:2, and it's on the sheet there. It's printed out for you, or you can look in your scripture. But the purpose of this prophecy is to inform us in this way. What the Spirit did for the Messiah, the Anointed One, God wants to do for us and give to us. I want you to think about that for just a moment and really pay attention to that. What the Spirit did for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, He wants to do for every one of us tonight. We go beyond no boundaries to expect that, or to say that, or to accept it. This is one of the promises to and for those that He is anointing and intends to use in this hour. Maybe a better way to say this is, none of these are beyond you and I. None of these, the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, the blessings and the favor of God, none of these are beyond us. I know many times I've heard messages, been in services where I didn't say it out loud, but my default was, well, maybe brother so-and-so can attain to that, or sister so-and-so can be that or attain to that. But I would tell you tonight, none of these things, and I will say this, I weighed out these words because I don't want to be just up here making promises to make anybody feel good or just to sound good. But the truth is, none of these blessings that He mentions in Isaiah 11:2 are beyond any person tonight under the sound of my voice, whether you are here and those of you that are online. God did not make a mistake in saving you, calling you, dealing with you, and in sending tonight's message to you. With His pinpoint accuracy, He wants to anoint you with these attributes of the Spirit. He wants His Spirit to rest and remain heavy in your life, so that His presence, through our presence, I'm talking about when we are in our homes and influencing our family, or when we are with others and associates, and when we are in the workplace or wherever it is at school, His presence through your presence would have a lingering residual effect in the world in which we live, to make a spirit impact and influence. Verse 2 says that this Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Notice in your Bible, the word Lord is all caps, which is always a reference to Jehovah God, Jehovah, the one true and living God. So He says the Spirit that we receive is Almighty God, the Jehovah that we read about in the Old Testament, manifested as God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. This Spirit of the Lord that is in this room tonight, the Spirit of the Lord that has touched your life as you have knelt to pray at any time, the Spirit of the Lord that you have felt in your vehicle or wherever it is that you've experienced the presence of God, that is not a secondary or lesser or subordinate spirit. This is the Spirit of the Lord. All caps. It's the same Spirit that moved on the face of the deep and created. The same Spirit that opened up the Red Sea is the Spirit that is in this room tonight. The same Spirit that displayed itself as a pillar of fire and cloud, that's the presence of God that is on this service and in your life. No, nothing less, nothing subordinate to that. The same spirit that caused a bush to burn. And the voice of the Lord came from that bush that burned and wasn't consumed, a miracle in itself. That same God, that same Spirit is consuming our lives and touching us. If God can find a bush in a desolate desert, He can find a child of God watching this service or sitting in this congregation tonight. He wants His Spirit to rest upon us. So suffice to say, the Spirit of God is not a lesser spirit, but it is the Spirit of the one true Almighty God. When we study Scripture, you know that God got angry and was adamant against any doctrines that purported other gods or that purported that God gives humanity a lesser form of His Spirit. There was a doctrine that the Apostle John and Apostle Paul addressed in that day called Gnosticism. Maybe you've done some study about that, but the simple summary of that was they believed and they taught that God was so holy and that humanity is so unholy, and both of those things are true. But what they morphed their doctrine of God's manifestation to say that mankind was so unholy that God emanated from one form and then a little lesser form and on down in several stages until He got to be a God or sent a God among men that was more on our level, and we really did not receive the Spirit of the Almighty Jehovah, all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. John refuted that by the Holy Ghost. Paul refuted that, and I won't go into the Scriptures, but that's an interesting study. That's some of the reasons they wrote some of the verses they did about how He is the one true and living God, and there is only one God. But God was adamant that we did not receive a lesser spirit. So we do not need to think for one moment that we have some lesser God than who He is. And here's another thing that sometimes we battle with, that we've received some spirit that is lesser than the book of Acts had. Not for one moment. The same spirit that opened that prison door for the Apostle Peter is the same spirit that can open doors for us. If you need something opened up, you pray and the Spirit of God can open up any door for you. Amen? You can do it. There's not a lesser God. The same God that healed that lame man. Sister Sue taught it yesterday afternoon in a wonderful lesson, or yesterday morning in a wonderful lesson to our Bible study in the prayer meeting. But the same Spirit that straightened those ankle bones and made those legs strong can heal somebody right tonight. If you've got a bone that needs to be strengthened, if you've got a muscle that needs to be mended, if you've got a physical situation, the healer is here, and He's not one bit less than He ever has been. The one that said, I'm the Lord. Somebody believe for your healing right now. I'm the Lord that healeth all of your diseases. It's the same God, the Spirit of the Almighty God, that we have in our lives. I feel it resonating tonight. I'm believing it more as much now as I ever have. I'm believing it more. The Word of God is having its impact even upon me tonight as I teach this Word. He said here in this second verse, that Spirit shall rest upon him. That word rest literally means shall descend on him and remain. Shall descend and remain. not only does it come upon us, but it attends us permanently. This is not a casual, transient, occasional blessing or anointing of God. Now, we all realize we have times when we're together like tonight, and we feel the touch and the presence of God as we gather together and as we worship. And you could call those times high point times of the Spirit. But the Spirit is just the same and will be just the same on Thursday morning as He is here on Wednesday night. When the clock gets around to 12 hours from now, at 8:08 Thursday morning, it will be the same Spirit and it will be remaining on you. I'm so glad when we walk out of those doors, the Spirit of the Lord does not fall off of our life. The mantle of the Lord does not leave us, but it remains upon us. And when you're going through your darkest day, the Spirit is remaining, that promise says. You're not alone. That Spirit is remaining upon you. And everywhere you go and whatever you walk through, there is that permanent, enduring resting of the presence of God. Our situations, the darkness that we face, would try to make us believe that God comes and goes. God, as far as His resting upon us, does not come and then leave. The presence of the Lord doesn't say, just wait right here a minute. Just be patient with me. I've got to go take care of this. He is an omnipresent God. And one brother over here is somewhere in South City calling upon the Lord and asking for His help. And there's another one of us out in Jeff County calling upon the Lord and needing Him. And God's not up there saying, oh my, what am I going to do now? But He's an omnipresent God. And if Brother Mike's calling on Him from his house, He's going to have the same power that you have, Brother Jim, when you're calling up on Him from your vehicle or wherever you are. I'm telling you, He's right here right now. But those of you that are viewing online, He's right with you. He is where you are. He is upon us. Why don't you just receive something from God right now? Would you just lift your hands and God put into us? Put on us. Fill us, Lord, with whatever we need right now. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Touch us, oh, Lord. Yes. We avail ourselves to it. We yield ourselves to it. We thank You for it. We thank You for it. Hallelujah. John 3 and 34. The record says that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him. That's another dual prophecy. It was talking about the Messiah, but it's also a prophecy for all of us who would be filled with the Spirit. God does not give the Spirit by measure. In other words, what God can do in your life is beyond what you can measure. I want you to lift your hand. I don't even need to look. But as a sign of faith, do you believe that? Woo! I want my lifted hand to be saying the truth. God, what You can do in my life by the Spirit can be beyond what I can even measure. His Spirit can take you beyond your natural limitations or abilities. Many times, and I questioned myself and made sure, and I checked with God before I started praying this, and I've been praying it for a good while now, and did tonight. God, take me beyond myself. Now, I'm not talking about not studying. I'm not talking about getting a bailout from God because I didn't prepare or I didn't feel like preparing. But I'm talking about giving what we can give, get the loaves and get the fishes, which is what all that preparation is, and then put it in the hands of Jesus. Who would have thought? The disciples didn't think so. You know, one of the reasons this is hard to believe, because even the guys that hung out with Jesus had trouble believing this stuff that I'm teaching tonight. Didn't they? They were human, and we struggle with it. But it dawned upon Simon one day. He said, "You're the Christ. You're the one. You're the anointed. You're the one that Isaiah wrote about in verse 2 of chapter 11. You're the one. You're the one." And it's dawning upon the church. It needs to dawn upon us, church. We don't have much time. And we're valuable to the kingdom of God. And we can't do this in ourselves. But God gives a spirit without measure. He can take us beyond our natural ability. Yes. Yes. If you're willing to go into that, God will lead you. He will. He will. That was not Simon's natural ability walking on that water. But he made sure he wasn't just out there doing a Simon impulse thing. And he was impulsive. But he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." He didn't ask for a guarantee. "And while you're bidding me, make sure I don't sink." He just said, "I don't need a guarantee. All I need is an invitation." Woo, hallelujah. All we need is a verse of scripture that says the Spirit is going to descend and remain on me. And God took him beyond himself and took him beyond human ability. Look, folks, I don't know any other way to say this. God wants to do this stuff for us. Woo, God, I want to get you out of a box. I want to get you out. And I want to climb out with you. Saying, "God, if I lay hands on somebody with cancer, you can take that cancer away because you're the healer. If I pray about an insurance situation, God, you can work it all out. In fact, you can work it out where the answer is better than anybody expected." He can do it. He's a miracle worker. God wants to anoint you and give you his spirit without measure. I want you to think about it. In fact, it'd be good if you just wrote it down. It's not one of the blanks, but just write it. God wants to give me his spirit and everything that is attendant with that spirit. He wants to give it to me without measure. He wants to bless your life with every attribute that is listed in this prophecy of Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. And that's the one we're focusing on. But you could go on to, we read it in verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5. There's other things that he will make him of quick understanding. God can give us that, an understanding of the times, an understanding of situations. We live in complex times and there are complex situations, but the Spirit of the Lord can help us not to just judge by what we see or what we hear, but to look deeper into his word and into his will. And God can even do what he said he's able to do with the power of his mouth, with the power of his words. God can use our words and his word through us to make an impact on this world. The first of the items or the anointings, talents, whatever you want to call them, that's listed is the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom, very simply defined, is the choice of the best means to secure or arrive at the best ends. In other words, choosing the best means or the best ways to get to the best answer. The Spirit produces or gives this, God's wisdom, and we can have it. We can have it. Don't settle for anything less than going after the wisdom of God and getting the wisdom. It's for us, folks. I know sometimes myself, and I've talked with others, and I can tell by their conversation, it's like it was out of reach. It's like trying to reach from here to the front pew. It's just out of reach. But that's not how the Spirit of the Lord is, and that's not how and where this wisdom is. He has put this within our grasp to be able to have a wisdom that the Spirit produces. All of us have choices. All of us have decisions. All of us are living with life choices. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm not only talking about determining what we'll do with our life as far as God's concerned. I'm talking about everyday life wisdom here. And we need that. We need the influence of God on every decision we make. Whether we move our finances or jobs or family situations, we need the wisdom of God. If we try to do it by our own wisdom and our own thoughts and our own plans, it will never be as effective as if we have the wisdom of God. And I wouldn't be preaching or teaching this if it was something that is out of our grasp. But we need to get a hold of the Scripture and bring it into our lives and say, I can have this. This wisdom here also refers, the word they used is a word that talks about comprehending the secret things of God. I want to know the secret things of God. God knows that you and I don't want that, so we can go around bragging that we know more than somebody else. You know, this Spirit, these blessings do not make me better than anybody else. They make me better than me. They will not make you better than somebody else. They will make you better than you. I need to be a better me. You need to be a better you, and it comes by the Spirit that comes to us, and we can know the secret things of God. I'm going to tell you, church, I'm going to tell you, and God's doing this. I've had people just this very day. I had a lady in this church, two different ladies, in fact, text to me insights and experiences that they had this very day that had to do with the secret things of God, the insights of God. This is happening. And they text me, but I don't know how many others have had incidences where the Spirit of the Lord has revealed something to you and have given you an insight into some of the secret things of God. I'll tell you what else. Our not just our ministry, but I'm going to throw this in here. Our ministry needs that. We need the wisdom of the Lord as we teach and as we preach. We just can't go and off some copied outline somewhere. We need the wisdom of God. And He'll give it to us. In other words, this is the wisdom about which you could say, this is how God would handle it. Here's how God would handle this situation. Here's what God would do. And there's a desire for that, and there it's a gifting, and God wants to give it to us. It's a heaven-sent wisdom. We can get wisdom, and it's good that we do. We can gain it through experience and various encounters and over time. And God arranges for that. But there is the difference between a human wisdom and the wisdom of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about always having to have some bright shining light or some experience like that comes to us. But I believe in our everyday walk and just in our everyday thought process, God can drop something in there. This is why it's important to be in prayer. Why it's important to read the Word of the Lord. How many times have you had that happen, either in prayer or reading the Word of the Lord, and some insight would come to you about the Word of God or about life as you were in the presence of God through His Word or through prayer? I'm not saying it only happens there, but I'm saying it does happen there, and that's a good atmosphere and a good mindset for us to be in. And so the wisdom of the Lord, and you can read through Scripture of how wise God is, and it's Jesus Christ is referred to as being very wise. Then there is the spirit of understanding that comes to us. This refers to good judgment that results from that wisdom. In other words, coming to the understanding or the true picture, and I have this as a phrase to fill in, how God wants us to understand and see a situation. How God, how do you want me to understand this? How do you want me to see this situation? How do you want me to understand this person? Sometimes we say in frustration, I just don't understand them. Because we're limited. And sometimes a situation or a person can be so frustrating to us or by their actions or words or whatever it is. But there can be, and this is within our grasp also, he talks about a spirit of understanding, a spirit to judge, a spirit to get the true picture of how God wants us to understand. And this understanding refers to being able to distinguish things, to be able to decide on their character. Is this right? Is this good? Is this wrong? Is this bad? And then to be able to discern differences, the difference of things. So many things can just look so muddy and so much alike, and the world wants to do that. The spirit of this age wants us to blend in and wants us not to be able to delineate between right and wrong, and the blending of, oh, you're too straight, or you're too judgmental, or you're too this, or you're too that, wants to blend all that in. But the understanding of God will help us to discern the difference. Understanding could be said and defined like this: to be able to discern the right thing to do and the right word to say. A spirit of understanding. And I want to address the topic of discernment because of the importance of discernment and understanding in this hour. The word discern or discerning in Scripture comes from a root word that means to sift or to separate. In other words, go through and not just take the whole stack of paper, but to sift through, to take time, to make sure we know what each document is and what each document is saying. In other words, sift it, take the time to separate things, to be able to decipher whether the spirit that we are dealing with, is it of God? Is it a human spirit? Is it the spirit of Satan? And then also to be able to discern what's the motive, what's the purpose here? You know, wrong motives can be camouflaged in good clothing. It's like the analogy that Jesus gave, wolves in sheep's clothing. There takes a discernment. I read an article of someone, and it's been several months ago, but I came back across it, of someone who had entered into one of our United Pentecostal churches and was really, quote, living the life and pretending to be everything, and then they admitted in this article everything that they were doing to just put on the show as a Pentecostal and living in holiness, but really their motive was wrong, and they were wanting to expose and make fun of and demean the United Pentecostal Church. I'm going to tell you, God can help us with this and give us a spirit of understanding. He can expose this. This happened to us several years ago at 13th and Gravois. A man came and on a Sunday night service, and at the close of the service, he came up to the front, and he spoke, and there was some others were with me, but he spoke to me, and he said, "Pastor, I own one of the TV channels here in the St. Louis area, and I'd like to come back in a couple of weeks to help make a documentary and to film, and I want to broadcast that." And he made it sound like he wanted to highlight the moving of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. And so at that moment, I accepted that, and I said, "Let's stay in contact and let's talk." But the Spirit didn't want Apostolic Pentecostal Church being made. I'm going to tell you, God's protective of His kids. And if we'll stay discerning, and folks, we need this in this hour. We need it in our families. We need it for the protection of our own personal life. We need discernment. There's some stuff we shouldn't let into our homes and on our CDs and videos and reading material. Some discernment. And it's that blending here. "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. That won't bother me, and that won't bother." Discern the Spirit. And that Spirit of Jesus will help to check us. That man went his way, and a few days passed, and the time was nearing. And I got a call from one of the men in the church and said, "Pastor, I hesitated to call you on this, but I just need to call you. There was a worker doing some plumbing work at my daughter's house. And they started talking, and in the conversation, he realized the connection that this lady, this daughter, who was not attending our church, but the father did. They talked enough about 13th and Gravois and Apostolic Pentecostal Church. And so he began to brag, "Oh, yeah, we're going to that church. And we're going to make a film, and we're going to broadcast it. And they think we're coming just to give them some good promo and to glorify God." But he began to spell out how they were going to make fun and how they were going to take the documentary, the film that was made, and doctor it up and make it say what they wanted to say. And that brother, the daughter told this man, and that man called me that day. And I just said, "Thank you, brother. Thank you." And I got on the phone and immediately, and I called that producer, that channel owner. I don't know what channel it was, or I said, "Tell you not to watch it." He's probably out of business by now, operating like that. I don't know, though, operating like that gets you somewhere in this day and time, sad to say. I said, "Sir, you're not welcome to come for that filming in however many days it was." "Oh, why not, Pastor? We want to give you..." I said, "No." First, I just played it off. And then I got a little more courage. I said, "Here's why. I just heard what your agenda is and what your motive is. And the things of God are too precious to play with. And this is the church of God. And this is the house of God. And these are the people of God. And these are precious people that have given themselves to God. And you're not about to make light of them or make fun of them. And so the deal is off." And that was the end. I'm telling you, now I didn't have the discernment at that moment in time. But God exposed it and revealed it. And He can do that. And you may not have the particular discernment at the time. And I guess I could have just shoved that off and said, "Oh, no, we need to take advantage of this." We need to let people speak into us, folks. If somebody gives you a little warning, pay attention to it. They say something to you about what you're watching or what you're reading. And I'm going to tell you what, it shouldn't all have to come from this pulpit. There should be, and I'm not making all of you deputies and for you to do my job, but we've got some holiness standards that we live by as the people of God. And the things that we live in and abide by. And God wants to give us that spirit of understanding to open our understanding and to see so that the enemy is exposed. But not only will the enemy be exposed, but the glory of God is going to be revealed when we open our understanding to the will. And God's going to give us, and he's going to help us to see, here's how I can take my family. Here's how I can keep my children safe. Here's what I can do to have the glory of God in my life. He's going to reveal it. There are so many kinds of spirits existing in our world today. We need this gifting. I put it, it's near the top of the second page. Discernment is essential for our own spiritual protection. Stay sharp in the word. Stay sensitive in prayer. Stay full of the Spirit of God, because it will give us understanding to protect ourselves spiritually. There would be a daily prayer that would be good to pray. Pray for protection physically. Pray for protection emotionally and mentally. But pray for protection spiritually. Our souls, our doctrines, our values that we hold. Pray that prayer. In fact, I pray it in reverse order. I pray first, protect me spiritually. Protect the congregation spiritually. Protect us emotionally and mentally. And protect us physically throughout our day. I want the protection of God. I'll just say it as plain as I can. I want the protection of God. I don't want to be injured or my life taken in an accident. But I'd rather be protected spiritually than protected physically. Because I can go to heaven out of an accident, but I can't go to heaven with my soul damaged and what I believe damaged and my values damaged. You need it, and I need it for our personal spiritual protection. I feel the spirit of intercession here right now. We're going to pray in just a moment. We need discernment for our family. Oh, I heard the story of what is happening to just a very young child. I heard another story of what's happening and what has happened in the life of one of our young people. We need the covering of God and understanding and protection and discernment for our families, our spouses. We need it for our brothers and sisters. We need it for our brothers and sisters. Spiritual protection, discernment. I don't think we'll have to worry about this, and if it happens, I'll take care of it. But I don't want us to be tentative about speaking into one another. And if you have some kind of a spiritual caution or direction or instruction, and I know there's a fine line in all of this, but I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. Don't look at them as some, oh, they're just a holy Joe, or they're just always been like that. We need some folks like that. Yeah. To speak into us. Now we got to do it by the leading of the Holy Ghost. We got to have the right motive. We're not trying to, and even a leader, me, I can't be doing this kind of stuff just because I want to direct or exercise authority. But it's a gifting that God has put in the body. It's a spirit. God, I said earlier, this is within your grasp. You can have this discernment. Some of these words have spooked us because people have abused them. But not everybody abuses the talents and the gifts and the blessings and the favor of God. Or else he wouldn't put them out there for us. God, give us understanding to understand what you want us to understand. We need it for our spiritual family, and I really feel this. We need it for those that we are leading, we are mentoring, we are influencing. There are people in and then outside of your family that you are mentoring and that you are influencing. Now, I know we all got to be responsible for our own salvation, but we're also to be helpers to one another. And you can, I believe this, you can help somebody to be saved. Hear me, church. I guess the flip side's true. We can hinder somebody from being saved too. But we can help somebody to be saved by receiving these gifts and saying, I can have this. I can have discernment. And I have enough confidence in the precious people of this church, those of you that are here and those of you that are online, that you're going to know how to rightfully use, and you won't abuse it and you won't misuse what God speaks to you. Be open for God to speak to you, and then be open to speak it into somebody, and then be open to receive it from somebody. Would you stand together, please? I feel a hallowedness right here. I'm going to ask for as little moving around as possible right now, only for you to stand. And I want us right now to let God speak to us and talk to us and move upon us. And would you just begin to talk with God right now? Have a conversation about engaging these giftings. God, we want these. There's nothing wrong with telling God you want these. And you may be exercising them already. They may already be employed in your life. But go ahead and talk to God and say, God, I want it. I want it honed. I want it sharpened. And anything that I'm missing, oh Lord, tell him anything that I'm missing, God, I want it there, because you intend for us to have your spirit. You intend for it to remain upon us. You intend for us to have these abilities, these elements. Oh God, it wasn't only for your earthly manifestation, but it's far your earthly manifestation now, your church. Help us, O Lord. Give us your wisdom, I pray. Give us your counsel, O Lord. God, give us your understanding, O Lord Jesus. Give us your discernment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With nobody looking around, but would you just, if you're willing, if you'll surrender to this, would you just lift a hand or both hands before the Lord? Do it. Those of you that are at home or wherever you may be other than here, we're giving ourselves to your spirit now, Lord. We're giving ourselves. We want your wisdom. We want your understanding. We want your knowledge. We need you, God. We need you. And thank you for offering it so full and so free. You've made them readily available, God. We don't have to twist your arm tonight. You're wanting these giftings in your church. You're wanting these giftings upon every believer. God, I thank you for the true Spirit of the Lord, the Almighty Spirit of the Lord that we have. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God. You're resting upon us. Hallelujah. 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 It's not going to make any difference when it is or where it is. This is a wonderful atmosphere when we come to the house of God, and then what we're feeling right now. And in many ways, it seems so much easier to employ it and to have it at this time. But no matter where you go, no matter where you go, in your house, your vehicle, workplace, name it, wherever it is, that same spirit and those same giftings. Location doesn't limit the power and the operation of the Spirit of God. It doesn't. All of this, we say often, this isn't a Sunday religion. It's not. It's an everyday lifestyle. It's an experience. And aren't we blessed to have? I'm glad God didn't make these blessings just Sunday blessings. Hallelujah. He knew we were going to live life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He knew that we were going to face those things. He's a good God. Let's offer him thanks and praise right now. Lord, I thank you for giving us your spirit. And thank you for everything your spirit contains, oh Lord.
Jesus, we thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He said it more than once. It's probably why it's ringing in my ears, but God wants us to have this. He's put it in his spirit, which he's put in each of us. And as spirit-filled believers, we can operate and we can practice, we can activate these gifts that God has given. And so many of the things that he was talking about tonight, I kept going to the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy and discernment. These are the gifts that God has given to us in order for us to be the church, in order for us to be what he wants us to be. And I'm thankful for good teaching tonight, some meat of the word that we can go home chewing on, right? For the next several days, take your sheet with you, take it to prayer with you, and just pray for the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. And thank you, Pastor, for helping us, for growing us, for developing us. We thank the Lord. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us. And don't forget, this Sunday we'll be back.